Do I get a special guest here on the studio? Mark Guerrero, the son of the legendary Tucson Lalo Guerrero. Mark, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. So good. We're good.
All right.
So Mark's here for a little bit here in Tucson. And do you like Tucson? Have you been to Tucson a few times?
I love Tucson. Well, when I was a kid, you know, I came every summer
to visit.
My grandparents and my uncles and aunts. And so to me, it's like a second hometown.
All right. Yeah. It is nicer than Phoenix, huh?
Oh, yes, it is.
And you have a brother, Dan, right? Dan doing okay and everything?
Yeah, he's doing fine, too.
All right. And the rest of your family and your... Dad's passing. It's just been 10 years recently.
Hard to believe, yeah.
Yeah, I did a little show in that time frame. I think it was sometime in March that I did a special 10th anniversary kind of Lalo Guerrero special. You know, I played songs and I talked about him because he's very dear to my heart. You know, I'm Lalo Guerrero. He grew up in my neighborhood. I still live in El Hoyo. Some people call it Barrio Historico. Some people call it Elysian Grove. So it goes by many names, but it's the same barrio, you know. So you remember when you were small and with your dad, and how did you get started with music, man? You know?
I'm trying to think. Well, the first thing, aside from playing clarinet in elementary school, I wanted to get a guitar when I was about 12 because a lot of my friends started playing guitar, and Richie Valens had been out, and everybody was sitting on their porch doing La Bamba and Peter Gunn.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people in East L.A. had these little inexpensive Requinto guitars that they got in Tijuana. And so I told my dad, I want to get a guitar from Tijuana. So next time we went to Tijuana, he bought me a guitar,
$8. Wow, $8.
And we had to negotiate. You know, I think the sticker price was $12, and we got him down to $8,
because
you have to do that.
You could find anything in Mexico.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Accordions, of course. Everybody would
go
there and buy their accordions. And
exactly. So anyway, I got the guitar, and the legend is, because my dad wrote about it in his book, is that his car broke down. And he showed me a few chords, and by the time we were driving home, I was playing and singing La Bamba. And he was like, couldn't believe it.
Well, that's great, man.
And that started it. Then I joined a band, and that was the rest.
I read up a little bit on you and said that you started with Mark and the Escorts.
Right.
And that was back in the middle 60s?
Early 60s.
Early 60s.
63.
Right, yeah. And then I kind of looked around for those. Those are pretty hard to find now, I bet you.
Yeah, you can find them on eBay, and they're pretty expensive, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But that's really funny, because my first band, we did two 45s for GMP Crescendo Records, and those things have been on countless
compilations.
Because it's sort of considered a garage rock thing and an East Side Sound thing.
Yeah.
And so it's actually, and it's been written up a lot.
Then how did you feel that your dad was always on the road and everything? Do you ever go on the road with your dad a few times, maybe?
Yes, good question. That's a two-parter that I have good answers for.
Uh-huh.
I hope they're good answers. Now, the first one was when I was a little kid, when I was 2-3 years old, and he'd go away. And for like 6 weeks, to a kid that age, it was like a year.
Yeah.
And he'd come home, and I wouldn't speak to him.
Oh.
Because I was hurt.
You were hurt.
And he'd go,
oh,
hey, Mark, how you doing? And I'd walk away, and it would take about an hour or two, and then I'm hugging him. But I used to be hurt that he'd leave. You know, you don't understand at that age. But when Mark and the Escorts were starting to get going around 1964, I was about 14 years old. He took my band with his band on a little mini tour of California. We went to Stockton, San Jose, Bakersfield, and we opened for him. So we got to travel with him, and, you know, it was great.
Right. That's great, man. So I like to play something when you were 16 years old with him. I have found this song, La Minifalda de Renalda. Do you remember playing on that song?
Yes, I do. I think I was even younger. I think I was 15.
Okay.
But it was Mark and the Escorts, and the great thing about that was, unlike today with all the trickery in the studio, that song has a rock and roll section and a norteña section.
Right.
And so there were two bands in the studio. There was Los Hermanos Arellano with, you know, the accordion and all that over there, and Mark and the Escorts over here. And my dad singing live. So the thing starts as a norteña. They're playing, my dad singing that, boom, Pero Reynalda. And then we played. And then we stop, and then they come in. So it was all done live.
Live,
with two bands.
No splicing.
No tricks. Two bands right there, back and forth. And my dad singing live, and there it was. And it was a hit.
So why don't we take a little break?
I played 12-string guitar on that.
Oh, okay. Why don't we take a little break and hear that? Because it's really an interesting song, and I always liked it anyway. So
great song.
Let's hear that, Mark, and we'll be right back. Talk to you some more.
Okay.
si se agachan se les mira hasta la espalda. Tengo una novia que se llama Reinalda, también se pone ya su minifalda. Y cuando pasa, compadre del alma, me juro que hasta la lengua se me escalda. Le canto así: Reinalda, Reinalda, quítate tu minifalda. Cuando bailas al gogó y se te mira hasta la espalda. Pero Reinalda, Reinalda, ya quítate tu minifalda. Cuando bailas al gogó, gogó, hasta la lengua se me escalda. De las minifaldas es un problema poderse agachar. Para levantar algún objeto se sientan como helicóptero al aterrizar. Como te quiero, mi linda Reinalda, tienes los ojos color de esmeralda. Y cuando te pones tu minifalda, pues ¿quién te mira los ojos, Reinalda?
Right again, that was Lalo Guerrero with his son Mark Guerrero doing Reinalda, la minifalda de Reinalda.
Sí.
Great song. Remember doing that, right, Mark?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
All right.
Then, really good. Well.
Then after that, you put out some 45s, right? In the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s?
My first really big one, as far as big break, was I did a single as a solo artist for Lou Adler, who produced the Mamas and the Papas' big hits, Carole King's right. Tapestry. He later produced Cheech and Chong. Well, I did a single with him, which was a really great thing for me to do. And he's now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Then I did two singles for Capitol.
Oh, in Capitol,
as a solo artist in 72, and one of them is the song I'm Brown, which is, you know, probably the song I'm most proud of and record I'm most proud of. And it was done, I was only 21 or 22. But it's a song about brown pride, and it's sort of a kind of a protest song and all that. But at the same time, the chorus is very positive, saying, "Don't you know I'm brown? Can't you see my face? But I'm first a member of the human race."
Right.
And I'm proud that I said that so young. You know, it wasn't like get whitey and brown power. It was like I'm Chicano. I'm proud, but we're human beings first.
And your dad was so that way too. He's very proud of his brown heritage.
Sure.
Man.
Absolutely.
Last week I played "Mama, Don't Let Your Boys Grow Up to Be Bus Boys." I mean, I played that last week, and somebody called right away and said, "Thank you, that's a great song." And you know, people like that kind of songs and everything. So it's just great to get it out there, like you said.
Yeah.
And you know, and then in 73, right, you started, you had a record with a group Tango.
Yeah, I had a group called Tango.
Tango,
And on A&M Records. And it was like a country rock group. It was rock, country rock.
And that was real popular back then, of course.
Well, we had our day. We played at the Roxy Theater, and we did an album and a single. And the thing I was very unhappy with was when we got the deal, I was a solo artist. It was supposed to be Mark Guerrero and my backup band.
Yeah.
And the producer said, "Oh, you know, we should make it a band concept," and because he liked the group and our image. So I said, "All right, so it'll be a band." But then they said, we were called the Mudd Brothers, M-U-D-D Brothers. And we liked it because it was funky, man. We're the Mudd Brothers.
Right,
and we're rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, you know, why don't you come up with something that sounds Latino?"
Yeah.
Because Santana was out in Malo.
Yeah.
And I just thought, but our music isn't like that right now. And so Last Tango in Paris was out with Marlon Brando. And I thought, Tango, that's kind of cool. one of the biggest mistakes of my life, because when people saw that album in a record bin,
yeah, they wanted
it said tango, and they
Spanish.
Thought it was Argentinian music. They thought it was tango music. There was no picture of us on it. There was nothing to tell them it was a rock band and that it was rock and roll. And it was a disaster. But there it is.
I know. And one time somebody called and said, didn't Lalo Guerrero make any tango records? And I you know what? I'm going to check on
that. I think he
didn't. I don't think he did.
I don't think he did, but you know what? He did love it. And he said one of his heroes was, what's the name, Gardel? Or
yeah, Lucy Gatica?
No.
There was Carlos Gardel, yeah.
Yeah, he was Carlos a big Argentinian tango star. My dad said he was one of his idols. So he loved that, but I don't think he ever wrote or recorded a tango.
But he had an album out of Argentina called Torero. And I just have the cover, and I don't have the album inside.
It
killed me not to have
it. I have it.
Album.
I can give it to you. I can trade it with you. No, but it's got some great stuff on it.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, that had Tin Marín on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so, like, next year, your dad's going to be 100 years old. He would have been 100 years old, man. So I was thinking, well, we should do something for your dad.
We should do some kind of...
Here in town or even in L.A. or
some kind of a borlote.
Yeah, borlote, especially a casino ballroom or something. You know, some place where he would have played long time ago. And I was just thinking about that, you know,
today. Some kind of a Lollapalooza.
Right, there you go, Lollapalooza. There you go. We could get your brother Dan. He's kind of into that, too.
Yeah,
right?
Of course, but he'll take it over. It'll be a Dan Palooza.
Yeah, I've seen Dan a few times. But
Dan O'Palooza.
Yeah. Let me see. And then you recorded with Harry Nilsson and then Eric Burdon.
Those kind of things just happen, you know.
You were like a sideman and just...
Let me tell you what happened. I hear some music in the background. Is that normal?
Yeah, that's normal.
Okay, all right. Hey, it gives us some atmosphere.
Exactly.
the Harry Nilsson thing, I was recording at Gold Star Studios in Hollywood with a friend. And after we finished, I walked out into the hall, and there's Harry Nilsson. And I said, "Are you Harry Nilsson?" He goes, "Yeah." And he was working on the Popeye soundtrack, the Robin Williams movie.
Right, right.
And he was doing demos for the album, for the soundtrack, and it sounded great. And he invited me in. And so I went, he didn't know me, and I went in. Okay. I wound up staying there for 12 hours. I wound up singing on a background track.
Yeah.
And watching him be a genius at first, and then get drunk, and then do coke, and then pass out on the board.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it was great. And I got to meet Klaus Voormann, who played with the Beatles and John Lennon.
Right, yeah.
And I got and Van Dyke Parks, the genius that worked with Brian Wilson. So it was a tremendous experience.
All right. And then you had two other groups, right? Mark Guerrero and the Second Generation.
What happened was, finally, after so long, my dad and I decided to kind of do some shows together. And so we called it Lalo Guerrero, with Mark Guerrero and the Second Generation Band, because the band were my generation.
Right.
And backing my dad up. And we did quite a few shows, including Paris, France.
Wow, that must have been great to go out.
And Tucson. Yeah. We did Tucson, too.
Oh, you did Tucson?
For the mural dedication.
Right, right. I remember that, yeah. And then also Eric Burdon, you remember recording with
him? Yeah, Eric Burdon, that was another wonderful accident. What happened was I had already worked with... Los Lobos with Cesar Rosas on the Papa's Dream thing with my dad.
Right.
And Cesar was going to perform out in my area at a casino. I went down to see him during the sound check. Eric Burdon was there. And Eric Burdon was supposed to be backed up by the house band. And he and Cesar were going over the songs they were going to do. And I kind of knew the chords to a song. And I picked up a guitar and started playing. He goes, "Hey, can you play tonight? Let's just do it unplugged." I said, "Sure." So I showed up, and we just did it as an unplugged. Just me, Cesar, Eric Burdon, and a harmonica player.
Oh, okay.
And we did House of the Rising Sun. And it was a thrill for me because I grew up, you know, watching him and loving
him. Like we all did, yeah.
So, yeah, I got to play
with
him.
Great.
It was great.
Yeah. And then 2003, you played with Redbone? Yeah, Redbone.
And 2010, 11. I played a few concerts with them. We did El Paso a couple times.
Because I remember seeing that group in the early 70s.
Yeah, I love
the
music.
Santana. Me too. I had all their first album, and that double album, the second album, and all those. Yeah,
I love the music. Yeah, so I got to play with Pat Vegas and play lead on
right.
all
Wasn't
those
he incredible, Pat Vega? Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote Witch Queen of New Orleans.
Right, and then Cannibal of the Headhunters, right? It says here that you played with them.
Well, the current Cannibal of the Headhunters band in 2010, I played some concerts with them, and the highlight was we went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and did a PBS special, and there was like 55 classic rock artists there to perform over 4 days, and so we got to, you know, played with on the bill with Question Mark and the Mysterians and Paul Revere and the Raiders, and it was a great thing.
Okay, let's take a little break, Mark, and we'll play the song On the Boulevard, because that's okay. That's one of your better...
I decided to write a song about... when I grew up in East L.A., Whittier Boulevard was the cruising place.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. So I thought I'd write a song about the whole cruising thing, and it's bilingual.
Okay, and when did that come out?
I wrote it in 79, and the first version I did of it was in 81.
81.
But the one you're hearing is 88. It was like
88. Okay, so let's hear that here by Mark Guerrero, On the Boulevard, here on 91.3. Yay! Right, that was Mark Guerrero again with On the Boulevard. Right, Mark, we're coming up to near the end of the interview here. I was wondering what you up to these days. I heard you were out with Flaco Jimenez.
Yeah, I was in San Antonio.
I
have an internet radio show called Chicano Music Chronicles on CRNlive.com, Chicano Radio Network. And what I do is I pick out an artist that I like, and I pick out like 10 or 12 of my favorite songs. We discuss it. I interview them. We discuss the songs, the inspiration, a little about their career. And so while I was in San Antonio, I interviewed Renee of Renee and Renee.
Right.
And it was really cool. And then I went and visited Flaco, who I played with my dad in Paris, and we did the Raikou.
Right. How's Flaco doing these days?
Yeah. He just got back from being in L.A., and I heard he had broken his hip 6 months ago. And he's pretty old.
Oh, yeah.
He was already touring again.
Right.
So it was great to see him, and now I'm in Tucson.
All right, that's good. And from here, you go back to California, and you stay busy with musical. And
And I do occasional what I call lecture performances, where I go to universities or museums or cultural centers and talk about the history of Chicano rock.
All right.
And I play, and I show video. And I was at Ohio State last year, so I do that as well.
I know,
so if any university is out there, I'm available.
Right, but in California, it was so many Chicano rock groups, and there were
literally
hundreds.
East
LA, hundreds. You know, of course, there was the Midnighters were the
most popular,
and then the Cannibal and the Headhunters, and then there's 10 or 20 other ones.
The
Premieres, Farmer John, all those songs. Oh, I remember.
And then later, El Chicano.
The but there's a lot of books written on that. Well, at least a couple of good books. You know, that one called Land of a Thousand Dances. That's a great book, and a few other ones that people want to delve into the Chicano rock era. And then in Mexico, they had an incredible Los Rocking Devils, Los Absons. Oh man, I still hear that stuff, and it's really exciting, just like it was back then. And to me, you know, I don't know, because it was, you know, that was rock and roll Mexican style.
That's
in other words, you know. So. Yeah, and I used to play too, a little congas, and I played with many Santana cover bands, right? You know, and then I'd break my arms and legs, and I mean, playing so hard that, man, I had swollen hands for about 2 weeks after. You know, nobody could keep up with the conga drums of Santana, man.
Yeah,
But I'd like to play one more song that one of your favorites, a song, I'm Brown.
Right. That was recorded in 1972. It was released first on Capitol Records.
Right.
And they didn't promote it too much. I think they probably didn't understand what it was about.
Right. It was also on Old Records?
No, that was on Capitol. Uh-huh. But what happened is it was a little too long. In those days, a record had to be like 2 minutes and 30 seconds for radio play. I was crazy enough to make it 4 minutes and 45 seconds. So they're like, who's this guy? Well, he wants 5 minutes? So
right,
I think that hurt me. But in 2009, it was in the Grammy Museum in Los Angeles in an exhibit called Songs of Conscience, Sounds of Freedom. And they had an exhibit that had a picture of my band, the original lyric manuscript, the record, alongside of like Bob Dylan and Jackson Brown, and people that wrote songs with social import, you know.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and play that real quick, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit in the end here, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
I'm Brown, baby.
Right.
Just as long as you don't make a sound, don't call us, we'll keep in touch. Just as long as you don't say too much. So take a step to the back of your heart. It isn't much, but you know it's a start. Don't you know I'm brown? Can't you see my face? But I'm first a member the human race. Don't shout, don't you know I found out that you don't know what you're talking about. But Lord knows I know how it goes. Everybody's got to stay on his toes. But hey son, get that off of the ground. I wake up, see what's going down. Don't you know I'm brown? Can't you say die. Don't you know that it's only a lie? Don't quit, duck, don't get hit. We're gonna make it bit by bit. Hey boy, get that shine on my shoes. You can't laugh when you're living the blues. Don't you know I'm brown? Can't you see my face? But I'm first a member of the human race.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Very nice.
I also have George Landa here from Los Naughty Dogs. How you doing, George? Can you
I'm
hear me?
I'm doing good, Devin.
All right. Thank you for bringing Mark over here. And you guys did a whole CD of his stuff, right? Called Lalo's Town, Los Naughty Dogs.
A tribute to the great Lalo Guerrero.
Right. It was inspired by him, of course. And there's also other songs in that CD that are originals by you, right?
Yeah. Yes, but it all has to relate to the environment we live in. This here, you know, Lalo's Town, all the influence we have living on the border. And everything relates to something here in what we call L.A., Lower Arizona.
Right, yeah. That's good. And I just want to thank you for bringing Mark. And Mark, thank you very much. I learned a lot today and informative, and hopefully we'll get together again sometime and play some music or spin some records or honor your father, especially again next year for the 100th birthday of Lalo Guerrero. I'm really big on that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. And, let's do that Lollapalooza.
All right, Lollapalooza, man. Okay. So I still got a couple of songs lined up. I like to play that one you did with Los Lobos and...
My dad.
Yeah, and your dad with the song Elvis Perez, right? You played bass on that?
No, I played the electric guitar.
Oh, okay, because I remember reading it was bass, and I said, no. Yeah, okay. We'll play that, and also one by those Naughty Dogs, the Gabby Gabriela song?
Yeah, the song on our CD in Lalo's Town called Gabriela is, we wrote that for Gabby Giffords. I was thinking about her one night. And my theory was that little girl that died, unfortunately, and a few other people, none of them deserved to get shot.
Right.
I was just thinking of...
Such a tragedy, yeah.
Yeah, and then I was thinking of Santana, something he had said, and then I just started playing it in Santana mode, and I recorded it that way. But I never took it to her because everybody's doing festivals for her.
Right.
She's never even heard it. But
oh, okay.
It's for her and it's for those children.
I'm sure by now she might have heard it, but anyway, it's a great CD, and thank you for, again, coming over with Mark Guerrero, the son of the famous Lalo Guerrero. And
this is the first family of Chicano Rock.
The first family right here.
It's royalty here.
My God. So thank you very much, and maybe again we'll talk again in the near future, and buenas noches. And
I look forward to it. Let's do dinner later.
All right, thank you. And let's go now here with Elvis Perez.
Elvis Perez, the mariachi from the land of the huarachi, is the king in Mexico. He's the greatest in the world. He's the idol of the girls when he sings this rock and roll. He really nada más que un perro. Eres perro corrientón. You eat none but hot dogs with mustard all the time. You eat none but hot dogs with mustard all the time. You ain't never had a taco and you ain't no amigo of mine. Once he used to sing the love song, Cuckoo, cuckoo, paloma. Now he don't sing that no more. Now when he plays the guitar, he don't sing Guadalajara. All he sings is rock and roll. If you wanna be my gal, come to Heartburn Hotel and bring tortilla chips and avocados as well. Cause a la guacamole, baby, a la guacamole. With a guacamole, I would die. Yes, amigos, Elvis Perez, he receives a million letters from his fans in Mexico. He's more famous than Pancho Villa. His records sell like tortillas when he sings his rock and roll. Once he used to do the samba, he would sing and dance la bamba. Now he don't sing that no more. Now he yells like an Apache, he don't talk like a mariachi. He says, man, far out, right on. You know, I can be found sleeping all alone. If it is yet that time, please don't telephone. Don't be cruel, don't wake me up until noon. I can't stand getting up before my siesta's over. Cross my heart. Yes, amigos, Elvis Perez, he's making lots of letters